Blog Talk Radio.
To welcome everybody to Garden of Enlightenment with Lu Yu Wild Dove, and I have co-hosts Weaver of Dreams, Gray Eyes, and Poetic Picasso. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about ourselves. We are the Late Night Poets Group, and our Late Night Poet program in the evening and the after midnight shows are supported by all the poets who had donated poems for the anthology books. And you can find us on Amazon, just like our name, Late Night Poets, and then Anthology. And there are several books out there, and they're absolutely beautiful. And poets from around the world donated their poems, so that would help support these shows. So I want to thank everybody. And Gray Eyes, if you wanted to go ahead and pick up the callers for me, since I can't see them, please.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Weaver.
World. Hi, my dad.
Welcome to the show. I can't see the phone board because I'm on the group. Welcome to the show. This is Katie from Scotland, and hello and welcome. And I saw that Laurent's on the show, so I imagine Gray Eyes has picked him up. Laurent?
Bonsoir. Hello, you are there.
Bonsoir. And this is Laurent, and he is the person that we call Mr. Butterman, because when he reads poetry, you just know. Hi, Laurent.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. And Gray Eyes will be with us shortly. I can't tell if anybody else is on. Is that all we have, Gray? I guess so. He's at work, so he might not be able to talk. And I want to say hi to Pam. Hey, Pam. And I also want to, Poetic Picasso is on our board. And I also see Amy. Hi, Amy. Hi, everybody. So we are ready to go.
Okay, my dear. I have a slight problem with something in the way of what I'm trying to do, and I can't get rid of it. So bear with me a second.
Yeah, the site's been having lots of issues. I had like 195 messages that they said I had to pick up. And when I was looking at the, you know, any messages, it was all wonky. So, and then I was talking to Matt in Great Britain. He also told me he was having the same issue. So, oh, there you go. You got it, girl.
Yeah, I did. I frightened it away. I smiled at it. Okay. This is Skepticism by Jack Tomkovic. And Laurent, would you be so kind as to read this for us, please?
I will be happy to.
Thank you.
Skepticism by Jack Tomkovic. Skeptics with triptychs painted in a three-part board on a wooden board pop on with gold link. Wow, I'm going to begin again because apparently I forgot to have a read temporarily. Okay. Skepticism. Skeptics with triptychs painted in a three-part cord on a wooden board pop on with gold gilts on a pink cereal bowl of total orthodoxy. Simony and selling of indulgence whims. The original get out of hell free cards for Catholics who like to pay and play, then get away with sloth, anger, fornication, and pride that goes before the fall, y'all. End poem.
What a great read, Laurent. I'm having issues with my asthma today, so I apologize. And if I have to hang up, Laurent and Katie, please carry on. He puts on here, as a cradle Catholic, my church has issues. Ha! there's my personal, since I was baptized a Catholic, I have issues with the, like what he says, the original get out of hell free cards for Catholics. I have never understood why you keep committing the same sin over and over again, and then you have to say your Hail Marys and the rosary and, you know, just go back the next week and do the same thing again, when the actual teachings are you're supposed to stop, you know, committing sin. So I can understand this, and, you know, this is his personal opinion. It is my personal opinion. It's no offense to anybody. You did a fabulous read on his poem. What did you think about this poem, Katie?
I can understand what you're saying about a religion. Religion and politics, you will never get two people looking at the same thing and deciding the same thing. So everybody has their own opinion. I am a graceless person. I have no beliefs whatsoever. But I do envy people. I envy people who do have a faith. It's wonderful. If that works for you, it's whatever works for you, isn't it? But my brain can't accept a lot of the things that I'm told they're supposed to be taken in good faith. I can't do that. So it's a beautiful poem. I really enjoyed it. He's brought all of that out, which is good. It's good that he can actually talk about these things. Everybody should be able to talk about how they feel. But I did like the one that you quoted, the original get out of hell free cards for Catholics. I've never understood that either. Come on now. If this is a fifth time, surely somebody should be pointing out there is a problem. Not just walk away and say a Hail Mary.
Anyway. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
You know, being Native American after finding out of those hundreds, you know, of course being taken away from their families, you know, because our race was heathen, which, like, yeah. Well, you know, let's see what you're doing. And, you know, all those babies, especially in Canada where they were found, hundreds and hundreds of children that were just buried all outside as if nothing. So I do have faith, but not necessarily what's taught because I can't swallow it. And Laurent, we're going on.
Yes.
I would love to know what you think.
I had to become a Catholic at a certain point in my life when I got married.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to classes. And for a little while, I believed. And then as I looked at the dichotomy between what was suggested and what was actually practiced, I just felt much the same way that Jack feels. I became a skeptic. And I saw that there were so many people who did get away with sloth, anger, fornication, and they were full of the pride that goes before the fall. So I've got to say that in a very few words, Jack read my mind. Nice piece.
Well said. And, you know, it's just, these are just opinions of people. No personal, you know, what I would call, you know, I'm not, you know, trying to defame anything, but, you know, I do question things, especially if you think a lot. And I would like to know, I just looked at what Phil, my eye, said, that she found out that Frank was an altar boy. And after reading his essential poem, she's like, But I also would like to see what Arm Mandel says. Great right, Tom, and great read, Laurent. Love the imagery in the poem, especially the gold gilt on the pink cereal bowl of total orthodoxy is really interesting. And agreed, a lot of hypocrisy, and I agree too. And I think we all agree. Okay. We're ready for our next film, Miss Katie.
Okay. And next we have Sad Girl by Bush Baby. I'll read a couple and give your voice a chance so that it doesn't get too sore in your throat.
Okay.
I know your breathing's terrible. So, but, you know, jump in.
I'm
going to
call back. I will call back, you and Laurent. Go on.
Okay, no problem. You don't have to say, just say bye-bye. Good girl. Okay, now we're on to Sad Girl by Bush Baby. She kept reaching out till her fingers ached, left unheard messages till her voice great, chastising herself to move on for God's sake. Sad girl with low self-esteem. He doesn't want you. He's happy and moved on. He's a coward and a liar. You know you're not wrong, and it's part of his game to make you beg and plead while you ate all his bait as your gums now bleed. A sad girl with no self-esteem. Your mirror shows an addict with no self-control, desperate for his scraps to make you feel whole. You've made him the devil and gifted your soul while he waits and watches. It all takes its toll. Is he actually worth it? I think you know. Sad girl. End poem. Right, Laurent, could we have your opinion on this, please?
Absolutely. I like the line, a sad girl with no self-esteem. It appears twice, and each time we're getting kind of like a little monologue in the second stanza in particular. But in the first stanza, we're just, you know, she kept reaching out till her fingers ached, left unheard messages, low voice break, chastising herself to move on for God's sake. The ability to move on is something that some people just can't handle. They need to grieve for a long time in order for it to happen. And when you have self-esteem, as it describes in the poem, sometimes you can't do that. You're absolutely stuck. Well, Bush baby, in the last full stanza, says, your mirror shows an addict in their self-control, desperate for his scraps to make you feel whole. As in many relationships, when part of it, when the other partner is missing, it feels as if there's something missing, that is only half there. But it's not going to be a happy ending. He waits and watches and probably does nothing. He watches it take its toll. Is he actually worth it? I think he knows. Sad for him. No, the bum isn't worth it. What even good when the heart says yes? Very moving.
Yes, thank you for that. I agree. Very moving. It must be a terrible place to be. Whether, you know, I mean, obviously we don't know whether this is fiction or in fact, someone's life. But to be in that position cannot be an easy thing. To feel you have no worth. Ugh, not good. Okay. I just want to check to see if Louie's back with us. Are you back with us, my dear? No. Poor darling, she's still got problems. Okay, we'll go on to the next one.
I'm here, Katie.
Oh, hello, darling. You're back. Good, right. I'm just going on to the next one. And the next one is Near Death, Family Farm by Gary Rubin. And again, Laurent, if I could ask you to read this, please.
Certainly. Near Death, Family Farm by Gary Rubin. Rolling hills stretching reach to the sky. Rippling clouds lap against their shores. Blues swirl with periwinkle and magenta. Morning sunshine collides with autumn chill as mist shrouds a rusted old red barn. A broken porch swing hangs lopsided. Swayback roof joists belly with age, with old age. Time has forgotten this once proud heirloom. Rush hour traffic steps over this curbside derelict. Tax credits, subsidies of spare change. Manicured fingernails grip luxury SUV steering wheels while callous working hands crack in the cold. Developers circle a near-dead carcass overhead. Vultures ready to pick at the intestinal entrails. But dying family farm. End poem.
Well read. You know, this is a powerful poem by Gary. You know, from what I've seen in my life, you always will have some family members that will come in with their manicured fingers and, you know, gripping their SUV steering wheels, you know. And then you have those that have been staying there, that have been taking care of family members and, you know, working, you know, in the home or out in the farm, if that's what you have, while callous working hands crack in the cold. You know, this is just, you know, to me, you know, what happens on many farms, you know, lots of people, you know, that's just not the lifestyle that they want. And others, you know, due to whether it's heartfelt reasons or they have a choice, you know, they try to work those, you know, dying family farms to keep them going. But, you know, sometimes with this economy, it's just like impossible. And I really thought that, you know, he caught that, because I have known some that, you know, they just leave and never help, or, you know, they just go on with their lives and enjoy their lives while others are trying to take care of the family farm. What did you think about this poem, Katie?
I agree. You can't not do what you have to do. No matter if no one else is doing it. If you know what's right, you'll do the right thing, and you're left to do it because nobody else bothers. As you say, they have their own life, and it must be such a hard life working on a farm. I can't even begin to imagine. You know, you're up at silly o'clock in the morning and off to bed at silly o'clock at night. I mean, tiring, very tiring, but beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. I could actually, you know, when you get that manicured fingernails grip luxury SUV steering wheels while callous working hands crack in the cold. Oh, that just says it all, doesn't it? That's in a nutshell. I mean, I know how that feels. Your hands are that cold. But yes, beautifully written. Thank you very much for sharing, Gary.
Thank you. And I would like to know what you think, Laurent.
All right. Many family farms, small places that have been, oh, they're like three or four generations, came to an end in the 1950s, 60s, and the 70s as large conglomerates began farming, picking up the small farmers, making it very difficult to compete. And when you can't compete, you're going out of business. Gary talks about the manicured fingernails gripping luxury SUV steering wheels. Well, that's one half of it. And then while callous working hands crack in the cold, those who have to do what they have to do, given terrible conditions on the one hand, and the other, the lap of luxury, the large conglomerates. It's a sad thing to see family farms die. To me, those people are the salt of the earth. Well written, Gary.
Yes, I fully agree. Thank you. Lou's having a bit of a problem with her breathing at the moment, so we will just carry on. So pick up and carry on. Poor darling, it's such a shame. Okay, the next one we have is Soft to the Touch by Ursula McCabe. And I will give this one a read. So Soft to the Touch. My eyes scan through a dripping forest, turkey tail mushrooms live on stumps, fallen logs slump lazily on loamy soil. The feathered shapes share their bark with soft swirls of moss and bugs. They are earthy-coloured, dun-brown flesh. Raven calls from his wet, needled branch, tells us to clap for clustered bounty, a scallop fungus of such grace. Spring's floor offers up a fertile bed. End poem. That was lovely. Yeah. Right, Laurent, if we could have your comment, please.
Well, hang on a second. I'm running behind time. So if you could give the first comment, I would appreciate it.
No problem at all. So, yes, I mean, I love mushrooms. So I thought this was brilliant, talking about all the different types of mushrooms that you can find in this particular area. I have always gone out looking for mushrooms. I have picked them, brought them home, and put them straight in the bin. Because I'm terrified of poisoning my family. So that's a brave person. It's a brave person who could go out and pick and know what they're picking. Because in France, in the marketplaces, they have a guy that looks at your mushrooms for you. That doesn't sound right, does it? It's not a euphemism. Looks at your mushrooms for you and makes sure that you're not taking anything home that's going to harm anybody. So we should have that here. But I thought this was beautifully written. It was very atmospheric. It was I like Raven calls from his wet needled branch, tells us to clap for clustered bounty, a scallop fungus of such grace. Spring's floor offers up a fertile bed. Lovely. I liked it a lot. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Ursula. And then Laurent.
Yeah, the dripping forest really caught my attention, as did turkey tail mushrooms live on stumps. Fallen logs slump lazily on loamy soil. There's no actual alliteration words in a row, but, you know, when you go from logs slump lazily on loamy soil, you've got alliteration. It doesn't matter that it's separated with a couple of prepositions. And the feathered shape, of course, refers to the mushroom's shape. With soft swirls of moss and bugs, dun-colored brown flesh. The language in this is really excellent. Clustered bounty, scalloped fungus, brings forever, offers up a fertile bed. This elegant, neat, clean phrasing that is very vivid in its imagery. Excellent piece.
Yes, I agree, definitely. All right, and moving swiftly on. Next we have I Guess I'll Take a Shot Alone by Saint Jay. And I wonder, we're just going to take turns each year. I wonder if you would read this for us, Laurent.
I'd be happy to. Ask me anything. Well.
No. That wouldn't be allowed.
All right. I guess I'll take a shot alone. I've come to life in the deadness of the night. I saw that I was all alone. My spirit would take flight. All the love I had is gone, loyalty out of sight. I guess I'll pour me up a shot. Another one? I might. These special days go by too quick. I can't even smile. I have no time to be this sad. My joy will take a while. Since I can't be there anymore, I'll stay within the mile. I'll pray then for your hidden touch. I will never defile. Is the day your glory hour? Then I sit in me and I want to be heard eternally. Please, if you could hear my cry. Every day I was alone, but they never told me why. Now I just want to be faded. I'll go low, but I get high. I've come now to this moment. I'll never tell our story. We'll relive it again someday. You are my allegory. I'll show you my hidden love if you show me your glory. For now, I will say goodbye, alone, listening to story. I've come now to this moment, this the hour of my tear. I shall not forsake a moment with the ones that I hold dear. Every moment is for them, for to know that I am always near. Can't be there anymore, yet I will always be here. I'll forever close my eyes. I'll live forever in my dream. I will never show my hand. I am not what I would seem. By the classy liquor, the lonely wood of steam, I'll go all out for some weed, and from the bottle I drink lean. If I would relive this life, I'll sit alone with hearts who died. Been alone since time began, so I put away my pride. Think I've been drifting here alone, up in my ride. I guess I'll take a shot alone, because you ain't by my side. End poem.
Thank you. That was a brilliant read. Thanks so much. Yes, this is so deep. That generally means I don't know what to say about it, but not this time. I just thought this was a man grasping, holding on by his fingernails to keep going. And I think that it came across so vividly. He's obviously been a naughty boy, perhaps, and is not being forgiven. But I love the passion, and I love the... And it's written so well. It's as if, you know, this is not a piece of poetry that has to rhyme, if you know what I mean. You don't even notice how much of it he's got there in beautiful rhyme. You don't even notice it. It's that seamless. So, yes, I liked it a lot. And thank you so much for sharing. And Laurent, your comment, please.
Yes. When he says, I've come now to this moment, I'll never tell our story. We'll relive it again someday. You are my allegory. I'll show you my love if you show me your glory. For now, I will say goodbye alone, listening to story. This is a person who has lost the love. It's walked away from him. He's sitting all alone with other people who did the same thing, who lost someone. I'll sit alone with hearts who died, been alone since time began. So I put away my pride. You start alone, and at some point in your life, unfortunately, you lose what you have, and all of a sudden you find yourself completely alone. That one person isn't there anymore. So I guess I'll take a shot alone, because you ain't by my side. I'm going to use the word ramble. It feels like this rambles, but it rambles under a disciplined hand. It moves in a number of different directions, which is nice because it's well written and it's interesting. And he takes time to tell his story, even though he says, I'll come down in this moment. I'll never tell our story. Well, he has told the story. I think it's sweet, sad, and well done.
Thank you, Laurent. That's brilliant comments. Okay, we go on now to Hell of a Dream by Nikki Marie. So I shall read this one. A Hell of a Dream. Down the rabbit hole I'm falling. Can't you hear the voices calling? From the darkness creeping, crawling. Insanity, absurdity, a new day dawning. Judgments pending, sins atoning, wicked people and lost souls roaming. Picked apart and tortured slowly, only to remain lost and lonely. Distorted faces, smiling phony, cackle laughing, hunger growing. Half-dead beasts and marked men showing devilish scars, and eyes plucked open, burning pits with embers glowing, stitched-up lips and bones all broken. Satan's army proud and devoted, marching forward, leaving blood rivers flowing, naked witches round the fire they're dancing, singing, chanting, Lucy, I invoke thee, burning rancid flesh-lipped wide open, empty cribs and lost mothers hoping, endlessly searching while eternally choking. Dead men's hands reaching and groping, calamity of insanity rapidly approaching. Open wide eyes already crying, when this vision I had awoke me. I opened up my blind mind's eye, try to see what God wants to show me. Upon us are the end of days, nigh are the days of suffering. Take this hint, this sign, this clue, prepare for what's upcoming. In the dark is lurking evil, perverse and cunning, souls twisted into monsters, into demons they are turning, into a land so promised, recycled souls returning. I think that I have done my job. I hope all heed my warning, because marked men are left in hell and spend eternity burning. End poem. Ah, and Laurent, could I have your comments, please?
Nikki Marie. There are all kinds of different rabbit holes. If you like a poet or you like a singer, you're going to go down that rabbit hole and discover what it's all about. But this is a different rabbit hole. From the darkest creeping, crawling, insanity, absurdity, a new day dawning, judgments pending, sins atoning. At this point, I think it sounds like he is in hell. And he is. Satan's army, proud and devoted, marching forward, leaving blood rivers flowing. He uses imagery and examples to illustrate post-death, if you will, endlessly searching, like eternally choking, dead men's hands reaching, groping. And there's some skillful rhymes all the way through this piece. And he winds up the poem in a way that I think says what it has to say, because marked men are left in hell and spend eternity burning. You know, based on what you've done, you have made a target of yourself, and you have been scooped up. And it's not going to be fun for a long, long time, perhaps eternity. It's a terrible thing to do. What was done is said you'd have that eternal rabbit hole. I like the poems. These are great pieces.
Nice comment.
Oh dear, I'm sorry.
You're mute there,
I think I may have been. Yes, I am terribly sorry. I've got a thumb that doesn't work. What can I say? Oh dear.
Operator error.
Yeah, well, yes, I'm afraid it's brain drain error, old age error. It got everything I've got going on here. I thought this was this was a joy to read, apart from anything else. It was so easy, and I love that. That is, you know, it just you knew what you were going to say next, which I really, you know, I enjoy that. Because I tend to have a little bit of a problem, because when I read something, I scan. I don't read every word. I scan maybe 5 or 6 words and then, you know, scan. But so when I'm reading poetry, I have to really concentrate. And this was, as I say, an absolute pleasure to read. And I love the part about Staten's army, proud and devoted, marching forward, leaving blood rivers flowing, naked witches round the fire they're dancing. And I love their chant. Oh, brilliant. So well done. Yeah, so thank you so much for sharing that with us. It was an absolute delight, even though it was not a very, wasn't a very pretty place you were at, but beautifully done. Right, I'm just going to check. Lou, are you with us, my dear?
I was the way that the poem isn't in stanzas, so it mirrors the rabbit hole of the poem's theme. So she felt that was creatively done. So great comment, Amy.
Cool, thank you. So I gather she's not back yet. What a shame. Right, we have the next one coming up is, here we are, Memories of the Animals. Hello? I'm sorry, I thought I heard something. Okay, Memories of the Animal Shelter by Vibrant Oddities. Phil, do you feel like doing a bit of reading or... I'm sorry.
No, she doesn't.
Oh, I see. So, okay. Fine. Would you like to give us a read, Laurent, please?
Yes, more than happy to. Memories of the Animal Shelter. 2 years together before lives in recovery. Gentle hands sing songs of comfort. Embrace reconstruction. Woodland dreams return as intensity rises. In uncommon makes this environment feel like home again. Soaring knowledge as cautious eyes save further lives under stress and sweetness, and memories are lovely. Kittens purring, huskies howling as pit bulls become playful. No matter the struggle, each day was beautiful. A workhorse for the ages, preventing calamities. In the age of uncertainty, our leadership reflects good humanity, giving he of numerous travels a chance to make a difference. The man in the scarecrow hat begins again. Good night under May, nomadic reflections in forest caress. This occupation has made me a better person. Feeling that my time has come for resignation. Voyager True begins to fly. I disappear without saying goodbye. Precious moments in laughter, dedication, hardship, and lovely melodious conversation. Memories not forgotten. I leave behind passages and return in future moons. Proudly with dedication, these people brew uplifting seas. The beauty I see in the forest pastures of future adventures, animals in good arms await adoption calling. Technicians, officers, leaders, fighters, dreamers, and believers softly have made a difference in the community. Beautiful days across talkative moons grew deeper lenses for future expeditions. A family who cares deeply. In return, I shall awaken further, always with open arms, friends of fairness forever, inspire a new generation. Behind elder shadows, I gifted you rapid repetition, dedications with resignation, a lone wolf with no goodbye. End poem.
Oh, thank you. That's with a wonderful read. I'm terribly sorry, folks. I'm afraid I'm going to have to leave you. Something's come up. So have a great show and good night.
I'm confused. What's going on? Well, this is pretty unique. I wish I knew what the hell we were doing here. or if I'm by myself, or whether or not anyone else is around. Katie had to leave. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Jean, do you want to come aboard and start feeding me poems to read? Or would you like me to take the light from the topic page? What do you think? Nothing from them? Okay, so I will go to the topic page, and I will find one. I will read it. Let's see. I think we're going to do Street Cred by The Drift. Let me copy this. Get it over here. Put it on the board. And Street Cred by The Drift. The house near the end of the street burned spectacularly. And pardon the cliché, but I think I was wooed by the sparks floating up from the roof to the treetops, something akin to a conclave of cardinals. The frame of a house sang in place of the embers, its bones cracked beneath the pyroproctor's palm. An uptown curtain tangled up with a grease ball, a fork and a toaster? May I never know. Regardless of what started it, I felt ancient. A schadenfreude Moses blushing at God's bush. The soot made out sloppy with all who would have it. And that part, by far, was the least cinematic. They've since cleared away all the trash and have leveled the lot. So it looks like the block's missing too. I throw bits of cheese in the yard when I pass it and pray for the cat that I've not seen since then. End poem. Well, that was an interesting piece. Now, before we go on to...
it was a great read, Lynette. I've been here for, I don't know, 10 minutes. You didn't hear me?
You've been on mute, have you?
No.
No, not a word. You were on mute.
No, I was talking.
I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, that's all right. Because Frank heard me, I think, because I saw him in that room say something. But yes, so I'm good. Not that I'm worth a whole lot. I really missed that poem because I hung up and called back because you couldn't hear me. So I can't help you with that one. But Lou was having a
no,
hard
no,
time.
No, no problem at all. I'm not sure whether they're – well, no, he wouldn't have set the fire. He enjoyed – well, I don't know if enjoy is the right word. I'll just read the line. And pardon the cliche, but I think I was wooed by the sparks floating up from the roof of the treetop, something akin to a conclave of cardinals. As we might know, whenever there is a conclave of cardinals, they choose a new pope. Once the pope is chosen, they release a puff of smoke, and it's a certain color. And if it's one color, they've made a decision. If it's another color, they are still in conclave. So with that metaphor in mind, he says the frame of the house sang in place of the embers. Its bones cracked beneath the pyrocracker's palm. And who knows what started it? He says, I'll never know. I love a schadenfreude Moses blushing at God's bush as if he had seen the burning bush the way Moses saw it. Now, as he proceeds, they've since cleared away all the trash. They've leveled the lot, so it looks like the block's missing two. And that's a nice visual. We all know what that looks like, that missing tooth, normally black. He hopes the cat is still alive. And in hoping so, he throws bits of cheese in the yard. He has a soft heart. He doesn't want the cat to starve. But he hasn't seen it since then, so is it dead? Is it gone? Either way, there's no more cat, no more house. It's a sad little piece, but I liked it a lot. Very, it's moving in a short and quiet kind of way.
Yeah.
Dean, what did you think?
Well, I didn't really hear much of the poem, to tell you the truth, so I'm not really any good with that. Unfortunately, I have to, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't you hear?
No, because I was on, no. And then when I realized you couldn't hear me, I hung up. So I was doing all that when you were reading it. So
right.
I'm sorry.
Fair enough.
My bad.
Fair enough.
But definitely, I'm sure it was really good because the drip is, has a really unique way of writing. And that is what Hope said in the room. You know, she had a little different way of writing it. It's a good job. That's what I can say. I'm going to tell you what. I want to throw the next poem. This is by Jeremy Jeremy F. Called Hard Pass. And I'm going to give this one a read since you just said there are tearful. Let's do this again. Hard Pass by Jeremy F. There are tearful towns driving a deep-seated hide by at a full five over the post. There are 100 road signs marking mile by countdown, a series of domino drop-downs, words rhymed by themselves. Ah, bumping cadence, like sliding over lines on a hairpin. There are bread baskets of byways, yeasted with such muscle memory that each wheel dip and light rise, dressing the victim of living, can be mapped across fingertips in the conducted steel trail. There are local station call letters, once dialed into range and tune, that will circle back to sad songs, repeat emphasis on repetition, that sung along and out the window, to be reflected by a silver rear view, and home.
Nice read, Jean. I appreciate that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to get hoarse by the time the end of the program comes around. I love to drive.
Yes.
And I love to blast the radio. So I'm right there with this piece because to me, driving at speed on an interesting road, listening to music, offers a combination of satisfaction, excitement, and a pause for reflection in the middle of doing something which is really fairly dangerous, and that's driving fast, singing in full voice to the songs on the radio. It really is a lifting of the spirit for me. So I can see the same thing in this for Jeremy. There was a great line in this. Where is the 5-0? Oh, that's the first line. There are tearful of the towns driving a deep-seated hide-by at a full 5 over the posted. You know, hide-by is where cops gonna hide. Posted is the posted speed limit. Full 5 is what everybody does. 5 miles over the speed limit. I love the third stanza, which discusses the breadbaskets of byways, yeasted with such muscle memory, that each wheel dip and light rise can be mapped across fingertips in the conducted key of Braille, that the road through the car, the road gives you feedback. The car tells you exactly what it's doing. Does it feel light? Does it feel heavy? Is it straight, quiet, smooth, or is it bumpy, loud, rattling? Either way, it's the road, and you're on it. And I like this a lot. There's a freedom to it, kind of a devil-may-care. And the wordplay in this is excellent. So, nicely done.
And welcome back, Luyu. Good to have you.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm trying to breathe.
This is good. This is good. Keep that up.
Well, do us a favor and succeed.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had to keep dropping, but my asthma is really bad today with this weather. So, and I don't want to be hacking on the air because then I don't want to, you know, people's homes to have me coughing.
Right. Well, I get it. And I'll be happy to mute you anytime you want. So you can let me know.
Okay. Yeah, well, when you hear me start to cough, that would be the great time to mute. Because when I'm coughing, you can't talk.
There you go. Just don't take it personally if I just mute you all of a sudden.
If you hear me start to cough, that is to tell all. You know, I really enjoyed this poem by Jeremy, and you did a good read of it. You know, my favorite is the last stanza, because when I have a troubled spirit, or my heart is very heavy, you know, I'm trying not to talk too much. I love that last stanza because The emphasis on repetition, the best sung along and out the window to be reflected by the silver rearview mirror. And, you know, that is sad songs. And, you know, I find out that I think better when I'm just driving on a freeway and I'm just listening to sad songs. It helps me deal with my pain. And also, it also works on issues. And, you know, I love these old roads. I love mom and pop restaurants. And, you know, these little dives, you know, it's just something, you know, that he brings out, you know, those memories so that you see. And, you know, I really, really enjoyed this.
Right. I agree. I have to say there was, you know, great imagery in this, and I thought it was cleverly penned and definitely a well-deserved front page pick.
Mm-hmm.
Nice job, Jeremy. The next piece, Laura, I'm going to give you this next piece. And this
okay.
is okay. Almost gave it to somebody else. Okay, this
I'm
is Mystical Land by Matt 29.
I see it. I will pick it up and read it. Mystical Land. Pastel clouds grace the sky, waiting their return, arching over the bare trees, whispering everywhere. Animals big and small dispersed, leaving no trace. Purple rose hues mingle with the stark trees, leaving only branches stricken of their clothing. Coldness sweeps through the land as crows descend. Little people appear from under the earth, all their finery with shovels and buckets, gray beards hanging down to the floor. Crows swoop down, transforming into men, leading this crew of elves and dwarves toward the clouds with crystallized movements. Climbing up ladders made by each other, soon they are in the cloud troughs, scooping out the riches within. The men who were crows demand speed. Night will be descending soon with the moon. The fairies will arrive, healing the earth again. End poem.
Thank you. Lou?
Yes. You know, I thought, sorry.
That's okay.
Maybe my ears aren't working either. I don't know. Maybe I blew them out coughing. You know, I really was enchanted with this poem that Matt wrote. I really enjoyed it. And then, you know, how he caught the colors of the sky. I loved it, the stanzas. Little people appear from under the earth in their finery with shovels and buckets, gray beards hanging down to the floor. But I thought he caught the color with the next stanza. Crows swoop down, transforming into men, leading this crew of elves and dwarves towards the clouds for crystallized rubies. Oh, and I thought that was just so beautiful. And I enjoyed his storytelling about the crows and the elves, and I just thought this was just wonderful.
Absolutely. And Laurent? I don't know who's running comments here. You cut it out.
You are
okay.
Running comments. You're a good job.
Well, I'm sorry to put you to work, Bill.
I'm just not sure what I'm doing. It's not a matter of that. Okay. I thought it was a great.
Oh, did you want me to do the comments? I can do that if you would like me to.
No, I'm not trying to make anybody do anything. I just want to make sure I'm doing what you want me to do. That's all.
Oh.
That's all.
Well, that's okay. I don't mind.
Whatever you want to do, Lou. Yes. It's your show. You do it.
Okay. I'll do the comments next time. Okay, Laurent.
Okay.
You did a fabulous read on Matt's poem. What did you think about his poem?
Well, before I tell you what I thought of the poem, let me just say that the reasoning in the conversation between you and Jean simply amazes me. You're giving each other sound and signals. No, you. I'll do what you want, but take it. Okay, I got it. I love that.
Okay.
What struck me really was the first stanza. If I saw clouds grace the sky awaiting their return, arching over the bare trees, whispering everywhere, animals big and small dispersed, leaving no trace. It's just something about the way you wrote that that was visually compelling. And then, of course, the little people appearing from under the earth, as you talked about, begins to give us the fantasy that is so, I don't want to say it's enthralling, but you can definitely get into it. And with the descriptions, you see it all happening and enjoy it. And then say, hey, I spoke.
Okay. Fabulous answer and comment, Laurent. And Phil, I would like to know what you thought of Matt's poem.
Why, thanks for asking. I thought this was a great right to the prompt. It was nice imagery. In the beginning, it was real nice imagery. Then all of a sudden, like, he got real creative. And I liked that. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, I think that little people appear from under the earth in all their finery, shovels and buckets, gray beards hanging down to the floor. I thought that was a nice twist in the piece itself. You know, it went from just being a poem about the image to being something completely different. And I think it was, like, really well done. So excellent job, Max. Thanks for sharing. And great from page four. Welcome to. So. I'm so good at this. Hard to get good help these days, Lou. The next piece I'm going to put up is, do you want to read, Lou?
If I read, I will not be able to stop coughing.
Then let's see. Laurent read that last one, so I guess I'll read this one. This is called Romance by James Meyer. A man and a woman touched by Venus casually read the evening newspaper, both unaware of each other till eyes miss and become one gaze. They exchange smiles dispassionately. Newsprint flutters to the carpeted floor. Maple leaves on a meadow of forgotten men. In that moment, there is no hotel lobby, no bellboys hauling luggage up the elevator, only luscious foot gently sliding in random, circular pattern, tongues entwined. He doesn't care if he smudges her or musses her hair with his drying caresses. The musky scent of passion wraps her rose petals, form droplets over her perfume. He is all mahogany on his corduroy slack. Honey clings to moist folds of flesh inside her silken pants. Dreams of honey must wait till tonight. Yes, tonight. The young industrialist fumbles along the seam of his jacket for an inside pocket. Gives her his room key, number 206. And phone.
You did a fabulous read on that poem, Phil. And, you know, this is a passionate poem by James Myers. I would like to know what you thought about this poem, Laura.
Well, give me just a moment here. I'm all yours. A man and a woman touched by Venus, casually reading the evening newspaper. Now, if they're touched by Venus and they're reading the evening newspaper, it's nice the way he introduces the third line. Both unaware of each other, their eyes miss, become a one gaze. And yes, at that point, the fact that they're both touched by Venus becomes readily apparent. And after smiles and a passionate kiss and the newspaper fluttering to the carpeted floor, it is time. You know, there's no hotel lobby, no bellboys, only luscious lips sliding. Random circular patterns, tongues and fucking twine. His euphemisms are excellent. He is all mahogany under corduroy slacks. That is nice. Mahogany is very expensive. Sounds like a good date. But inside, it's a great poem. And I want to see room 206.
You know, I really loved how you read some of those couplets. Laurent, what I love about this is the romance. I love how he started this off about the evening newspaper, and, you know, it talks about, you know, their passionate kiss as the newspaper flutters to the carpeted floor. And then what I liked about this is she doesn't care if he smudges her lipstick or messes her hair with adoring caresses. You know, these lines are so visual. The musty scent of passionately wrapped rose petals form droplets over her perky nipples. And then what, you know, he puts a little bit later on, dreams of honey must wait till tonight. Yes, tonight. So, you know, this passion is just going to be burning until tonight. You know, so, you know, waiting until, you know, he gives her his room key and waits for the heated passion to happen tonight. But I enjoyed this very much. What did you think, Phil?
You know, I said this is a wonderful, seductive poem of love and warmth. Very well penned, mm-hmm. and very much enjoyed. I thought it was a really well-deserved front page pick. Just a great job. And kind of glad I got to read it. Worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the next piece has a sound card. And this one is called Sad Journey by Richard Weston. So let me pick that up. And what did Amy say? Oh, Amy said it was a great write, James. I love how it plays with the punctuation and speech features, especially kisses, indicated as nice. Nice. Nice comment, Amy. All right. And here's Richard.
Sad Journey by Richard Weissman. Child drawings of infinite sum, misspelled ironies line walls of their subway hollows. Peace, mists, distorted figurines who'd implant selves throughout treeless subterranean vermin connect to dark dank. The words symbolize manifestations. Somehow, something deeper, Zen chaos, spells tyranny midst blown childhood in paper crowned her king, distorts to dollar-signed eyes a god, now envisioned motionless movements of animal intensity out from lair, hooks echo eye, in floorless grounds earthed, elongations still through their motions as dual figures immortal conflict grasp links one the other in blood-soaked black and blue interplay umbilically sewn disintegrate in the nuclear moment despised collectus destructum individuated violence maintained throughout. Clean vision of eucalyptus leaves obscured neath factory-printed oppression. Holocausts begin. Caved lights entrance. Impossible fragmentations of midday sun entrancing. Lose selves patterned in anticipatory echoes silenced, unbalanced. Wolfhead sets growling emanation. Blood flow forth. Fanged moon, luminous howling, stars bequeathed, breathless sweeps, superhuman forms dwarf man in violation of natural laws, illumines sea, shifts boats to capsize. Above, trench-torn warriors fix bayonets to ready, pair in frontal tack macabre, through sleek, silent night, emboldened silhouettes, pained, skyless event horizon, violent, powdered terror's elite. As wind tears tree veins from skeletal forested graveyards, barren mists eternity, now the child, Horus, even now, empty the tear duct, quiet indifference, enigmatic continuance, sad journey, human, and a poem.
Oh, I want to thank Richard for that powerful read of this poem. I was looking at some of the comments, you know, where he says that he had written two books in this style, and he says they were actually spoken into a tape recorder and then edited, you know, that, you know, he was talking about the 1990s. You know, there are powerful imagery in here. You know, just the clear vision of eucalyptus needs, obscured needs, factory printed oppression, Holocaust begin, cave lights entrance, impossible fragmentations of midday sun entrancing, loose shell pattern and anticipatory echoes silenced unbalanced. You know, these were just amazing. What a powerful write. What did you think, Laurent?
It was a powerful write. And the style is, well, as he says, his poetry from the 90s bordered on the surreal. And there's a lot of surreal imagery in this, an abstraction that might leave the reader uncertain. But, you know, you look at the phrasing, you look at the story that it tells, and you've got to appreciate it, even if for some reason you don't understand exactly what's going on. But it's not too difficult to figure out that he's speaking about possessions, things that we get that really do interfere with a Zen existence, if you will. It speaks of a materialism that, well, what he says here, somehow something deeper, Zen chaos, something very deep has been disrupted. And he proceeds to let us know exactly what it is in the lines that follow. Clean the vision of eucalyptus leaves, obscured neat factory, printed oppression, holocausts begin. There are many different kinds of holocausts. And this one mentions the impossible fragmentations of midday sun. I think is a great phrasing. It's a piece that requires several reads and some thought in order to comment intelligently. So I just winged it and said just a little bit that was on my mind without really understanding it. The complex layered piece that I'd like more time with.
Yeah, it is very complex. And Phil, I'd like to know what you think, your thoughts.
Yes, it would be nice to have that.
Phil? Did she go?
You know what? Never mind. Sorry. Sorry. I owe you a dollar. you know, it really was a complex right, and I liked how he began this whole thing. Child drawings of infinite sum. Misspelled ironies, line walls, and their somewhat subway hollows. He smiths distorted figurines. He implants selves throughout treeless subterranean vermin connected dark and dank. The words symbolize manifestations somehow, something deeper than chaos. So he sets you up for the rest of it, but he kind of, I don't want to say he throws at you, but kind of crosses at you, you know, and he just keeps going. And you know, what I really came up with the whole thing is that I like the way he led into the whole poem. But, you know, it really is a sad journey in so many ways. It's really what it comes down to, because it gives you different things that you look at. And for so many of us, you know, when you look at it is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unbelievable. Sometimes, you know, you say, wow, you know, here we go again, and this is, and that is. And, you know, it's well done. It was really well expressed, I think.
you know, and it is very complicated, and I'm not going to claim to know every little bit of it, but you get that feeling.
True.
You know what he said. So, you know, excellent.
Agreed, something.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, like Laurent said, it needs to be read several times. I agree. Phil, we're into open poetry now.
Look at it.
It's open poetry time.
It's open poetry time. We should think, make a song up for that. A saying. Okay, let me pull it over here. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to go over here. And I got to find the open poetry. There it is.
It's on the bottom. After the after the little cheerleaders.
Let's see now. Am I missing anybody? No, we're all still here. That's a plus. tell you what, I'm going to do the last piece since you're here with us. And then I'll take it from the top of that. So, Laurent, I'm going to put your piece up next.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate
it's
that.
It's called A Flower Lost in Rose-Colored Air. And Laurent is on. There you go.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Flower lost in rose-colored air. The Delta Plain flickered with jets of light, born of small arms fire. Distant brap, brap, pocket of brap, erupting at irregular intervals. Orange-red fireflies stream outwards, line dancing in twilight's descending gloom. Soft foliage descends in odd spirals, a salad of greens dressing Nam's brown earth. Distant chorus weaves through humid air. High-pitched voices sing song, nights of blood and sorrow. Traveling dark paths, bordering surrounding fields and laden rice stalks. Midnight war precedes bright day's harvest, when rows of hands and feet march in unison, pulling rice from flooded ground to ancient rhythms of ancestors alive and chanted lyrics. Explosion rocks the air, a great gout of pink water and spinning limbs flying disembodied against the sunlit sky, tinged by a red cloud slowly descending. Unexploded mines lurk like flat rocks, and again, fatal pressure from bare feet clicks loudly, arming the trigger. Movement is death, as wailing fills the air. A soul stares at eternity. Time freezes. Terror forces like a snake, undulating through fields of human statues. A mother stares at her daughter, desperate love in the twist of a face, without hope. Off balance, attempting a leap, slipping from purchase. Permanence. Flower lost in rose-colored air. And poem.
You know, this is a deeply moving, heartbreaking poem that you have written here, Laurent. You know, these minds that are just hidden that, you know, you can't see. And we know, as you know, there's been so many documentaries where it shows, you know, these children that are just, you know, running in the fields, on ground, and just to trip one of those mines and, you know, mangle the bodies. If it does, if they're not killed by it, you know, they're left with horrible wounds. And I thought that, you know, right here where you wrote, time freezes, terror courses like a snake, undulating through the fields of human statues. A mother stares at her daughter, desperate love in the twist of a face, without hope, off balance, attempting to leap, slipping from purchase, terminate, a flower lost in rose-colored air. And, you know, I can't imagine as a parent what it would feel like to have one of your children, male or female, you know, hit one of those mines and, you know, knowing what's going to happen. and there's nothing you can do to save your child, you know, and this is the aftermath of, you know, war where these bombs were planted to kill other soldiers, but now they're there to kill the civilians, you know, children. Oh, I mean, I hope I don't start crying. This is wonderfully written, Laurent. Thank you. And Phil, what did you think?
Well, you know, when I read this earlier, the piece is heart-wrenching. The end of this is just unbelievable. But Laurent's use of imagery was so well handled. The poem packed a strong punch without being overly graphic or a sense of other than, you know, the travesty that we all witnessed in the poem. And I don't know how else to say that. But you know, the poem was in the understanding of the references. I thought it was amazing work, and thanks for another really fine share. I just thought you did a fabulous job putting this into words and pinning the image, you know, for us all to understand. And, you know, it's not easy, but it was wonderful. Well done.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to say anything? Thank you, Phil, about your poem, Laurent.
More than 42 years after that war, its legacy remains. It's estimated there are more than 3 million landmines, UXO cluster munitions remain buried in Vietnam. I read one estimate that there were 110 million. I'm not quite sure how they estimated, but it's based on what percentage of bombs that were dropped did not go off on impact. And those are the things, along with the mines, that they're waiting. Didn't Mrs. Clinton organize to try and get rid of the mines in Cambodia and Vietnam, et cetera? If it wasn't her, it was somebody of her ilk. There's a widespread recognition that this problem exists. Let's put it that way.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Aaron Mundell left it coming in the room saying it was an amazing lightning rod. Full life from flooded bombs and ancient living. It's a particularly poignant line, she said, and the turning point of the explosion and harrowing was done. Excellent after. It's lovely, too. Okay. The next piece I'm going to put up is called The Three of Pentacles by Namia. Go ahead and give that a Three of Pentacles by Namia. Chisel and a hammer, tools of a sculptor, but I am no artist. I only get my tongue in a twist. A wordsmith, at least I think I am, pulling metaphors from thin air or oppressive digitation. Listen or read what you have, ear or eye. Take it all in and be free. End poem.
That was a fantastic read, Bill, and always thank you, Namia. And I would like to know what you thought about the poem, Laurent.
Well, Namia writes interesting pieces, and Three of Pentacles is an interesting piece. Listen or read, what have you, ear or eye, take it all in and be free. It's an interesting piece. I'm not sure, number one, what a pentacle is. I know what a pentagram is. I'm not sure what a pentacle is. I like the second stanza where Romeo says, a wordsmith, at least I think I am, pulling metaphors from thin air, oral prestidigitation, magic through the mouth. I love the word prestidigitation. I haven't seen it in years. So God bless, ma'am, y'all. You know your stuff.
Thank you. I was looking at her AN. She says, this just flipped on me as I was shuffling my deck after doing a reading for someone. I thought it was for the I have kind of small writing. Quadrant at first, but I realized it was for me. I'm being compelled to get a move on from my accidental hiatus and throw myself into writing, or rather just go with the flow and soar into the sky full of words. And I thought that's what she did. You know, I loved her first stanza. Chisel and hammer, tools of a sculptor, but I am no artist. I only get my tongue in a twist. You know, and, you know, it just, the wording of a poet, you know, when you're just writing something and you just, you know, I agree she should go with the flow and soar into the sky full of words. And, you know, while she was saying, listener, read what you have, you, ear or eye, take it all in and be free. You know, just to read her poetry and or listen to her poetry being read, you know, these are the words of a poet. And, you know, let, you know, our tongues get twisted and, you know, we just tend to just pull metaphors out of the sky when we're inspired. And I really enjoyed this. What did you think, Phil?
You know, I like the first stanza as well. I thought that was a great place But I like how she left in there. She's on hammer. She's in a sculpture. But I'm not artist. I only get my tongue in a twist. I like that because she's comparing, you know, being a poet to, you know, being a sculptor. And I think that's great because it is art. It is art. You know, by doing poetry, you can fix it. You can, you know, sculpt words into what we're looking for. And I think that he brought it to life in that first stanza there. And, you know, I thought it was just really well done. It was a great brevity. So thank you, Mommy, very much for sharing. Yes.
Yeah, thank you, okay. Phil.
Yes, sir. Okay. I hope I'm supposed to do something now. We're going to do it. Laurent, I'm going to put the next piece up for you. This is called Your Cardio. I'm not even going to pretend like I know. But it's by Luke J.R. I just don't want to say it wrong. So I'll let you say it.
Hey, let's have it.
Okay.
Girl, cardiovascular, little splintering spirit, wooden hearts. May they burn in the cozy fireplace, for the mantle no longer holds the face. Little splintered spirit, close your eyes. Feel the warmth travel through your soul, where the heart ignites for love for yourself. Little splintering spirit, spiritually, where they burn like little embers, earnest, where the mantle no longer is the furnace, little splintered spirits, rejoice within embers, follow through to the silent darkness of embers, for those who travel through the flames, it's where the heart glows through all the pain. Little splintered elden tree, don't you travel far from me, where the heart may be your hearthstone. The veins don't hold with empty tone. Feel the warmth travel through your gravestone, where the heart ignores the love for yourself. Because I've now seen your cardiovascular disease. They may call you disease. I know you're pleased, because you're the little splintered spirit who always told me, run along the fireplace. And
you did a wonderful, wonderful job of reading Luke's poem. You know, I was looking at what he said this was about, that, you know, besides the wonderful rhyme, the love, sad, pain, acceptance. You know, I really caught that in his ending stanza. Little splintered elden tree, don't you travel far from me. I love that rhyme that he used for the nursery rhyme. And then he says, where the heart may be your heartstone, the veins don't hold what can't be toned. Feel the warmth travel through your gravestone. where the heart ignores the love for yourself, you know. That is one of the things that, you know, we tend as human beings to beat up on ourselves worse than sometimes somebody could literally beat up on us, you know, where we don't feel that, you know, we deserve love, or we don't feel like we can then be accepted. And, you know, sometimes people, where he says they may call you disease, I know you are pleased. You know, they're, you know, where people, they do look at love as something that is a disease, where they don't love others, and at times we don't love ourselves. And I like that where he talked about, because you're the little splintered spirit. You know, sometimes we can see in time that somebody is actually more broken than we are ourselves. And, you know, you have to remember those words that, you know, upbuilding, and that people have told you. You always told me to just run along the fires, you know. There is fires in any type of friendship, any type of relationship, but it's something that a fire will go out if it's not stoked, or it's not fed, you know, constantly fed. And I really enjoy this poem by Luke. What did you think about the poem, Phil?
You know, I thought it was a well-penned piece. Each stanza was, I thought, was really excellent, and I loved the progression of his thoughts as we went along, you know, in the read. So I thought it was well done, and I really enjoyed it. So great job, Luke Taylor. Nice work.
Great. And how about you, Laurent?
I love the lines, little splintering spirit, spiritually. Mm-hmm. The title, cardiovascular, is heart, cardiovascular. And this speaks about a heart that is not healthy. You've always told me just to run along the fires is the last line, which is interesting, because when you run along a line of fires, it can be a signal. The line where the heart ignores the love for yourself, you know, if you don't see that signal, you may not survive long. But I'm also wondering whether the heart ignores the love for yourself. The heart is diseased because it's in love with something else. Where those who travel through the flames, where the heart glows to all the pain. You know, flames of life, the flames of failure, the flames of a broken heart, the flames of all the difficulties in life are presented by flames. And when everything is in flames, heart glows to all of that. And that doesn't sound like a diseased heart to me. And I don't know, because kind of up in the air about which direction I want to go, but either way that you read it, it works, and it's quite good.
Great. Thank you so much, Laurent. And we're back to you, Phil.
Okay. Well, that was excellent piece. This next piece I'm going to put up is called Dusk Morose Melody by Orkana Amore, and I have an audio for this one. Here we go. Hit the button.
Okay.
Ask a little sanctuary shall forever proclaim the dark, deadly delights of lifeless acclaim. We are the fallen, blissfully ravaged by decay, rejoicing among wreaths where our brethren lay. Come, join our throng where we huddle together, united in our endeavor to rot forever. Releasing bony vestiges of dead humanity, that voyaged in life through seas of insanity. Our seething cauldron will cleanse your soul, melting away memories that made you whole, till all that remains is your hollow husk that dwells in darkness from dawn till dusk. See such beauty that death has painted on pristine shards that flesh once tainted, in morbid musings where the reaper reckons this ivory chorus of cadavers now beckons. We await you with invitations upon your grave to become one with our joyous osseous enclave. We can all merge together in rancid reprise, dancing to morose melodies of dying sighs.
I have got to say, that breathing was horrifying, you know, you know, because it's just, you know, it starts leading you to this rich darkness and talent that he has for writing dark poetry. Come join our throng where we huddle together, united in our endeavor to rot forever. Oh, my God. Releasing bony vestiges of dead humanity, that voyage of life through seas of insanity. And then I could hear, you know, the whole time I'm listening to him read this poem, I keep hearing that breathing. And then, of course, he ended it with it. You know, it is kind of hard for me to see the beauty in that. But then as he goes, see such beauty that death has painted on pristine shards that flesh once tainted, in morbid musing when the reaper reckons this ivory chorus of cadavers now beckons. Oh my God, that is absolutely horrifying. And I was looking at some of the comments, that one of the comments that was in here, that this one of the poets says that he had accidentally, he says when he was young he stumbled upon a grave that spoke similar words from the late 1800s, and it reads, remember me as you pass by, for as you are, so once was I. As I am you, soon shall be. So prepare for death and follow me. And he said he never forgot that, and I guess when he read this poem by Arcana, it just brought up all those memories. What did you think of Arcana's poem, Laurent?
As usual, quite brilliant. Death's morose melody. At first I thought that we had read this the other night, because I do remember the picture. That's from a contest. I'm not sure if this was the one. I was having a rough time that night. But
yeah,
the first stanza, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just said it was someone else. Because I recognized the picture too.
Yeah, that's good. I didn't want to say something different from what I had said the last time. The first stanza is really the one that strikes home for me. A skeletal sanctuary shall forever proclaim the dark, deadly delights of a lifeless claim. That is, and all that line hits deep. Lifeless acclaim, kind of a celebration of the lifelessness. We are the fallen, blissfully ravaged by decay. Again, he uses the word blissfully to say how delighted he is with decay of all things, rejoicing among wreaths where our brethren lay, and the graves of the dead. And it is such a strange image to think about. for lifelessness to be acclaimed, to be rejoiced in, is definitely different. And that's one of the things I think amazed me. A really creepy poem, well written, mind you, beautifully produced and presented. Boy,
well, I wish I could do that too. Thank you. Fantastic comment, Laurent. And so what did you think of Arcana's poem?
Well, you know, as always, I thought it was wonderfully penned and recorded. You know, he puts out a wonderful audio. I thought there were great stanzas all throughout. I agree with Laurent. I thought the intro stanza was really wonderful. But I could have picked any one of the other ones. But as it is, I think I went to the second one. Come join our throng where we huddle together, united in our endeavor to black forever. We can leave vestiges of dead humanity that voyaged in life through seas of insanity. You know, I mean, each one was just, you know, a little tiny work of art all on its own. So I think that it was nice work, Arcana. Thanks so much for sharing with us. Great job.
Great. Thank you, Phil. Excellent comment. And we're ready for our next open poetry poem.
Hey, I see that Death is wearing Don King's hairdo in that particular picture.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's true.
maybe that's okay, Don King, you know, if we're lucky.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's straight up in the air.
Okay. Frank says he sometimes breathes like that one, just in case you missed that.
Oh, no.
First thing I thought of was, hey, that's Frank.
And the next piece I'm going to put up is the San Micho Mucho by Poetic Picasso. And I have an audio for you,
ooh,
I think.
The midnight rendezvous in Havana makes us sweat in the humidity. The beach is our exotic escape into the waves of our erotic passion. The restless sound of the ocean is the rumba of our nocturnal desires. We dance to the sensual beat of the rhythm of its slow seduction. My whispers are the winds of the island's lustful longing, serenading me with the sweet words of my Spanish voice, and your sensitive soul shivers within a profound rapture, begging to be engulfed in the romantic force of my typhoon. Your body is drenched in the wetness of a surging surf, and our tempting tongues speak the language of love. Be the lover that seduces me with the sexiness of your spell, as we dip into the rolling tide of our tantric kiss explored. We are the incarnation of the plunging phantoms of the ocean, released from their carnal flesh, my two ardent spirits revived, penetrating the crescendo of the tides, submerging us together, where our mystical moans resound throughout the night of Havana. Bésame, bésame mucho, como si fuera esta noche la última vez. Bésame, bésame mucho. Kiss me all over, as if this night was the last time. Kiss me all over, my wild dove. Ole, ole. Independence.
I want to thank Frank for this beautiful, erotic poem. And I would like to know what you think, Laurent.
Sure you do. I'm always a little envious when I read Frank's poetry in the erotic genre, which he does so well. Got such great lines. The restless sound of the ocean, the rumba, our nocturnal desires. All of a sudden, I had it slightly confused, though, with what is the little vacuum cleaner that travels by itself calls a rumba? I forget exactly. That's what I thought it was at first, and I had to reread it. My whispers of the winds of the islands, lustful longing. Some nice alliteration in here. He's got it throughout. And your sensitive soul shivers is a nice line. And there are tempting tongues speaking the languages of love. D's alliterated, L's alliterated. It's a nice way to move smoothly and transition throughout the piece, which I thought was very well written and erotic.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I love the music that he put for the background, and especially the way that he read this very soft, like waves lapping into the beach in Havana. You know, I love the eroticism of this. I also like that, which you mentioned, and our tempting tongue speaks the language of love. Be the lover that seduces me with the sexiness of your spell. As we dip into the roaring tides of our tantric kiss explored, we are the incarnation of the plunging phantom of the ocean. And, you know, you could just feel the warmth, the heat, smell the waves, the saltiness, you know, of course, you know, kissing somebody on a beach, you know, and I really liked where he said, bésame, bésame mucho, como si fuera esta noche, you know, that the last time, kiss me, as if it was the last time. And I thought that he beautifully did that. You know, you could just feel yourself on a moonlit beach. What did you think, Bill?
When I had heard it the last time, I thought it was, you know, really wonderful. I like the use of couplets throughout. I thought that was a great way to handle the piece. I think each couplet really stood out on its own. But I thought it was beautifully penned by Frank and great work, fabulous imagery, and really well expressed. It was really an enjoyable piece. Excellent job, Frank, and great audio.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Bill.
Laurent, I'm going to ask you to read this piece, and this is by Mira Cardoso. Cardoso.
Thunderdome by Nuno Cardoso. My head houses a thunderdome when my brain longs for the softness of your silk-like skin. Give me more, pain. Softly lay me in my bed of thorns. Fix my pillows and kiss me on the forehead. I'm still a child when it comes to thunderstorms. And
you did a great job in reading Nuno's poem. You know, I really enjoyed this poem. You know, sometimes, you know, in life, you know, there's so many things that we have to deal with. And when you have somebody that gives you cariños, you know, love, you know, to infuse and, you know, put love over our open pain, and, you know, it soothes that monster, or, you know, not so much that it's a monster, but the emotions that are just rising that we can't control. And when somebody puts their hands on us and lets us know we're loved, and they, you know, make us feel as if we're wanted by, like he says here, you know, fixing my pillows and kissing me on the forehead. You know, we all have that child that's in us, even as an adult, where when we're hurting, we want that love. And I thought that he beautifully expressed this here. And you did such a great job of reading it. How about you, Phil?
you know, I thought this was a wonderful little brevity. You know, love can make it all just kind of fade away. Sometimes, you know, when it says here, my head has a thunderdome, and my brain longs for the softness of the silk like skin. Give me more and more and more. To lay me in my bed of scorn, to fix my pillows and kiss me on the forehead. You know, it's kind of like the soothing. You know, that's just wonderfully done. It helps with your faith. So anyway, I thought this was a nice one piece. Nice job, Nina. And thanks for sharing.
Agreed. Thank you. And what did you think about the poem you read, Laurent?
The Thunderdome that it refers to is the metaphor. Excuse me, the thunderstorms that it refers to at the end, the metaphor for the Thunderdome, that private thunderstorm in his head, which never lets go. Yet he wants more of it, more morphine, which is love. Softly lay me in the bed of thorns, fix my pillows, and kiss me on the forehead. I'm still a child when it comes to thunderstorms. And, of course, it's not a real thunderstorm, but it implies he's a child when it comes to the activity in his head concerning love. It's well done. It's a very clever brevity.
Agreed. Thank you. And Phil,
well,
we're ready for our next poem, please.
Gray? Yeah, I'm trying to find it. I'm not sure where it is.
She's towards the bottom. Gray. Hi, Gray. Would you like to make a comment on Nuno's poem?
Sure. Laurent did a wonderful read on that. But, you know, the poem speaks to how, you know, our minds are befuddled sometimes with noise and distraction, you know, takes us away from reality. And, you know, you're still a child when it comes to thunderstorms. You know, you still get thundershook, you know, by the storm. And I thought it was fantastic, right? You did a beautiful read on it, Laurent.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gray Eyes, and welcome to the show.
Lou?
Yes, ma'am?
I don't see it anywhere.
Okay, I'll add it.
Okay.
And there she is, and could you please read this?
You know what? Okay.
And
I got it. Sorry. Okay.
Thank you. And Gray, since you haven't had an opportunity to read, would you please read A.R. Mundell's poem?
Yeah, you bet. Symphony of an Evening Beach. Symphony of an Evening Beach. The lapse at vanishing sand. The chorus of feasting gulls as silhouettes long for light. Children running from damp towels. Group of teens with cod and chips. One's too lost in fade-paid wonder and woeful weep with sunset crawl. They crumble with the day's taunt castles, each scintilla imbibed by inching tide. Their remnants wash with silken ease, drinking dolor through shuttered gasps. That driftwood elixir deposited next morn to be played as the refrain and poem.
Thank you, Gray. And I thought this was a wonderful poem by Amy. She did a word bank, and, you know, just listening to Gray read this, I would not have thought this a word bank. And when she used this word bank, children running from damp towels, group of teens with cods and chips. That made me smile because I could see this in the beach scene, and it just did. I just loved her couplet there. What did you think, Phil?
You know, I thought this was a great piece by Amy. I thought there was wonderful imagery, and it was very well penned. So it was an excellent use of the word bank. I think I actually listed the words there, so I knew. Not a long piece, but I thought it was just a really well-expressed piece. You know, children running from damp cows, groups of teens with cod and chips. One student lost in fade page wonder, and woeful beats with sunset fall. Each one, it just has its own impact on the piece itself. And I thought it was just nice work. So thanks, Amy.
Great. Thank you, Phil.
And what did you think, Laurent?
Well, maybe it's 2 seconds here. The Symphony of an Evening Beach, the lapse at vanishing sand. It's an interesting way of presenting the tide coming in. The chorus of feasting gulls, the silhouettes long for light. In an evening, there are no silhouettes without light. And children running from damp towels and the teens caught in ships. All the things happen in a beach at night do make up a symphony. I love the crumble of the day's taunt castles. Each scintilla imbibed by inching tide. He really delineates what goes on at the beach with great care and wonderful use of words and phrases in this. It's very nicely done.
Agree. Thank you, Laurent. And Gray, what did you think?
I thought you painted this beach scene beautifully with the word bank that you had. When the lake's going down, you know, you're a kid, you don't want that to happen. So you try to get in every moment you can. And I thought it was beautiful with the castle. Sorry, I just got to find it. They crumble with the day's taunt castles, each scintilla imbibed by inching tide. Just beautiful.
Great. Thank you so much, Gray. Back to you, Phil.
Okay, I think we might be able to get one more. I hope so. Do you want to give it a whirl for your last one for the night?
I shall try. I shall try. Okay. I don't. Did you post it? Because I don't see it.
I did.
I'm having so much problems with the site today.
Where did it go?
No, it didn't. It's not. It's a little tired.
Not there.
Thank you.
Not there.
Yeah, it popped up. Thank you. Bearing with one another in love. I've never been one for a poker face. These mochi cheeks still stained red from your romantic heat. I may bluff screaming I have a straight hand or a royal flush when I hold 5 cards, 2 to 9, all offsuit. I could never stop writing about you. Your blood courses through my veins. I bleed romance on pages from my heart that screams out your name. Delicately, I sculpt bringing curved stanzas to form sex, a memorial of our bodies, imprinting your fingerprints to echo the amor you so sweetly feed my ears. Even in my anger and hurt, where I threaten to never raise a poem, a pen to you, all I do is rewrite your name. Clumsy metaphors alongside, mirroring my favorite poetry you write. Toe tags, body bags, red wine flows down a patchy beard. Jack, Mika, Jameson, I will cherish it. These words are branded to my corazón, muscle memory that traces your frame. This woman lives in denial. I'll make love to you through poetry. Each time the mood strikes, every moment the moon chases the sun. Where roses take places of thorns, for all I am and all I want to be is your woman. And poem. And Phil, would you like to take over the comments since I read?
Sure. Gray, you want to start us off?
Sure. I mean, you can feel the love and the dedication in that, right? Bearing what with one another in love. It's just a beautiful poem. I like the design of the layout as well. It really has a flow to it that goes along with that design. So this woman lives in denial. I'll make love to you through poetry. Each time the mood strikes, every moment the moon chases the sun, where roses takes places of thorns. For all I am and want to be is your woman. Just beautiful and sentimental, touching, right? You can feel the love expressed.
And Laurent, how about you?
Well, this is a poem that moves visually back and forth in soft curves, apparently echoing the sex. And I've never seen that done before, or at least described that way. That was very clever. But it's beautifully done, obviously. It's a real clear, and there are many clear moments of imagery in this that are really quite stunning. And she speaks of metaphors, clumsy metaphors alongside, mirroring my favorite poetry. You write toe tags, body bags, red wine flows down a patchy beard. The language used, very vivid, and the words do flow, something like red wine, a trickle of oozing. Like the end, a great deal, where roses take places of thorns, for all I am and want to be is your woman. The language in this is straightforward, yet it marries a tone that is not wistful, but peaceful, if you want. Even though it is a woman who really is in love and lives in denial, and she makes love to the poet through his poetry, and that is really well done. It's she's a striking writer, and this is a striking poem.
I thought this was just a beautiful work by Hope. I thought it was full of feeling and emotion and incredibly well done. And I agree with you, Laurent. You know, there's something about it. The language is simple, but it says so much and it carries so much weight. It's soft, you know, and it's when you read it, there's nothing at all heavy in any place in this poem. You know, I love that last stanza. This woman lives in denial. I'll make love to you through poetry. Each time the mood strikes, every moment the moon chases the sun, where roses take places of thorns. For all I am and want to be is a woman. I love how she tied this up with a bow at the end, and I think it was just incredible all the way through. So excellent work, Hope, and thanks for sharing. And Lou, you get the last comment.
Yeah, you know, I love this poem that she wrote, especially that middle stanza. It looks like the back of a woman, her back, mm-hmm. and it curves in her waist, and then her bottom, you know, how she sees him. You know, she remembers the heat, you know, of their making love, you know, and she says that, you know, she can't hide who she is. If she feels something, it's going to be expressed in her face. You know, it doesn't matter what, you know, what's going on in her life. She will express how she feels. And then in her second stanza, you know, how she remembers the heat of him, the heat of his love that just courses through her veins. And, you know, she even talks about even if she, you know, when she says even if she's angry or she's hurt and she promises never to ever write, you know, about him again. She can't find that in herself because she loves him so much. And she said, you know, I really got a big kick, you know, how she talks about, you know, she thinks the clumsy metaphors aside, you know, I don't think her poetry is clumsy. I think it's not full of passion and imagery. And, you know, she talks about, you know, the things that, you know, he writes about that Lauren talked about, toe tags and body bags, which just, you know, just made me laugh. So, you know, it just points out in any relationship, you know, whether she feels loved or not, she's going to express herself for him in her poetry. And we know that, you know, with every relationship, there's thorns. But when that person gives you words, of, you know, which I've said before, of cariños, of lovemaking,
You know, it just makes everything, all those problems fade away, and that she'll always be the woman that loves him. Beautiful hope.
Absolutely.
And I think we're at our time's up. I want to thank you, Phil, for helping cover for me when Katie had to drop and I was coughing. Thank you, Laurent, and Gray Ice for opening the show, and for everybody that was in the group, Amy and Frank and Hope. And, you know, I can't wait until next Monday. Please be with us this coming Saturday. I will be adding the front page pick list onto Gray's show so that we can get through this wonderful poetry that's just absolutely breathtaking. Thank you. Thank you. Y besitos a todos.
Take good day, so everybody. Much love.
Good night, Gray.
Thank you.
Night,
thank
Phil.
You, Phil. Good and thank you, Laurent, for holding everything down.
My pleasure.
And I'll see you hopefully Saturday, if not next Monday. Thank you, everybody.
Absolutely.
Good night.
Good night.